Good morning, Natasha Pernicka. How are you?
Hi, Joe. Good morning.
It's so wonderful to have you here. The food pantries for the Capital District continues to face staggering challenges and increase in need as the coronavirus pandemic rages on. And we are thrilled to have the executive director, Natasha Pernicka, join us, as she so often does, to tell us what is going on in the front lines of this wonderful institution. Good morning. And it's always a great pleasure to speak to you. I hope you are well.
Thank you, Joe. You too.
All right. So let's talk about what you're going through right now. We hear a lot of on-the-ground reports, not so much from this area, but just globally, about food pantries being so utilized by people because the need is so great. So from your vantage point, what are you seeing in the Capital District? And was it 64, or is that number increased now? What are you up to?
Yeah, it's more than 64 food pantries.
Yep.
Here in the Capital Region. Pantry levels are remaining steady. About 50% of our pantries have experienced increased in service levels, and we know that a lot more people are seeking assistance. We had 1,000% increase in call volume on our referral line. And while, we got through the holiday season, it's now winter, people are still in need throughout the year. But one of the things that we're struggling with right now is on a state level, trying to make sure that pantry workers are still considered essential, as we have been working so hard since the March shutdown. Pantries have adjusted their operations to remain open and serve people throughout this public health and economic crisis. And at this point, we're really working now on a state level to make sure that food pantries don't lose their line in place for the vaccine.
So what is the official line of why food pantry workers are not eligible at this point? And the reason I ask the question, because I know that there is an eligibility for, say, supermarket workers. For people who are providing food to other human beings, which is essentially what you're doing as well.
Right. So, what's interesting is that food pantry workers and community meal program workers and Meals on Wheels workers, we don't necessarily have our own category on any, like CDC, like we don't have a category. We don't have a big labor union that makes sure that our workers get their own designation, because pantries are largely grassroots organizations. And I think this is the first time where we're coming together as food pantries and other community-based food programs and saying we need to be included in this plan. So
right.
Throughout the food pantry workers were defined as essential workers, defined as providers of basic necessities to economically disadvantaged populations in Executive Order 202.6. And so we were classified as essential workers throughout the pandemic. However, we're now not being included. We were directly told from the governor's office, food pantry workers are not included in 1B, when we originally were told by the vaccine hotline that pantry workers were considered under 1B under the public-facing grocery. So we're getting mixed messages, but at this point, we have stopped going through the vaccination process because the governor's administration is telling us food pantry workers are not eligible.
So I just want to clarify 1B for folks who do not live in New York State, but we have a phase system, 1A, 1B, 1C, and that phase, we are currently in phase 1B, which would have include, again, supermarket workers and those 65 and older, so forth, dot, dot, dot. And as you just indicated, you thought, rightfully so, that food pantry workers would be eligible. So there is a letter. Your representatives are behind you. Pat Fahey, Kerry Warner, John McDonald, all writing a letter to the governor saying, given this definition, food pantry employees were eligible to be included in phase 1B of the state's vaccine rollout, along with other cases of essential workers. Yet they were excluded. The letter goes on, although food pantry employees working directly in homeless shelters are eligible to begin scheduling their vaccinations, employees of food pantries not located at or in homeless shelters remain ineligible. So have you, I think I know the answer to this, but you have not received any response from the governor's office on this?
We know that they're working on it, but we have been pushing now for several weeks and we're not seeing any, we're not getting a response that we're looking for. We're just being told that they're still looking at it. So we're really hoping that for us, this just seems like a no-brainer.
Right.
That, of course, these essential workers would be included in the category. We're very concerned that if we don't get, you know, we kind of lost our place in line, and we're concerned that if we don't get back on, we're going to end up at the back of the line. And we I think a lot of people don't realize that, you know, we're experiencing some pantries closing. In fact, we have a pantry that just closed yesterday because of a COVID, possible COVID exposure. And when a pantry closes, you're now, you're creating an additional barrier to food access for people in the community. And it also takes a lot of coordination efforts on our emergency food system, you know, making sure coordinating, okay, where can those referrals go to? So there's a big impact for keeping those important food services open as well, beyond just that.
So let me ask this question, which is the, because you said you go back to the back of the line. Is there also, would there be, let's say you got good news from the governor's office today that workers can be, that food pantry workers can be included. Great. So would you then have to go through the arduous, horrible process that everyone else in Phase 1B has to go through of driving to Plattsburgh or Potsdam? Or do you think that there is also an emergency nature where there could be a clinic or something set up that would allow you to get it quicker?
I mean, I think we're all, there are so many people who, I mean, we all need the vaccine, right?
Yes.
And there's definitely so many people that need it as a priority. So I feel like we're all kind of in this together as far as, you know, utilizing the system the way it's been put in place. And hopefully, you know, there will be more access to the vaccine as we get more vaccines. And I'm hearing there's a lot in the works. So I think we're right in there with everybody else.
Yeah.
But we'd like to be on the list with the people who are essential at this point.
Right. And because you make a great point that, look, March or April is certainly better than July or August, especially when one exposure can shut down a food pantry and make it very difficult for all of the people who rely on that facility to get the food that they desperately need.
Yeah, and I also think people might not recognize how much grocery food is going out through the pantry system. So since March of 2020, enough groceries for more than 300 million meals have been distributed to New Yorkers across the state since March of 2020. And if you think about it, there's about 3,000 community emergency meal food programs, including food pantries. So we're talking about 10,000 food pantry workers. So this isn't going to make or break the vaccine system as it's set up right now. So, you know, it seems like a no-brainer to just go ahead and add them on to those in the 1B phase right now.
So one of the things that I'm curious about when it comes to, you were just talking about grocery stores. So you do get food from grocery stores. It, because of supply chains and all that we've heard, and anyone who goes to a grocery store at any point sees that things don't look like they did a year ago, or let's say a year and a half ago, because we're coming up on a year of this pandemic. Is that the case in the food pantries as well?
At this point, supply chain is in much better shape than it was than last March when the shutdown happened. So supply chain is keeping the pantries pretty well stocked. You know, occasionally there aren't, you know, specific items that families have preferences for. But all in all, supply chain is holding up. So we're grateful for that.
Natasha, I'm going to ask you a huge question, and unfortunately I only have a minute for the answer, but Do you think that this pandemic fundamentally changes, let's say, you know, we get a vaccine and we get this thing under control in several months? Do you go back to the way you were, or are food pantries fundamentally changed from here on?
In some ways, there's the positive outcome is that now we have a system in place to provide home-delivered groceries, which we didn't have before. And
yep.
I think this has really shined a light on the importance of having equitable, healthy food resources. So we hope to take this opportunity to push forward in making people that no one has to go hungry in our state.
Natasha Pernicka is Executive Director of the Food Pantries for the Capital District. Natasha, as always, I applaud you on the beautiful work that you do and your entire team does for our community. We're thinking of you. Best of luck in your efforts, and I look forward to our next conversation.
Thank you so much for having me today, Joe. Really
All right.
appreciate it.
All Be well, best. Natasha. Have a great weekend. Thank you.